Blackhawks Live.
Here's the break in front of the pass. He scores!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live. Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live. Now, here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Another week of Blackhawks hockey saw three games out on the road, two victories in Winnipeg. One game the Hawks would like to forget in St. Louis, but they did finish it out 2-1. The Blackhawks now get set for a very long homestand. How's it going, everyone? I'm Joe Brand. He's Chris Bowden of WGN-TV. This is Blackhawks Live. We've got plenty to get to tonight. The trade deadline somewhat looming. The GM search still ongoing. Again, the Blackhawks are coming home for quite a long stretch of time. And Jason Ross Jr., who was the 23-year-old play-by-play guy, has gotten a call the last three games on TV for the Hawks. We'll talk with him after the 7:30 news as well. And hi, Chris.
Nice suit.
I did dress down after the video, after the promo that we are entitled to do for this show. So
I hope you had a game last night, so you couldn't even spend. I hope it was a Valentine's lunch with your lovely wife Allison.
You know what? We really haven't had any opportunity with a later game last night. Here we are tonight. She works during the day. got to celebrate a little Valentine's Day with everybody on the social media.
Well, as long as you weren't drinking that whole bottle of wine you were pouring there.
It was tough. It was tough. You know, opening a bottle of wine at 11 o'clock in the morning and taking a sip out of it for work, mind you. It was for work.
Yeah, all in the name of professionalism.
I can see why people might want to do that every once in a while. But that's even funny, too. She did see the video and she goes, you know, I was looking forward to that wine tonight.
Oops.
And I go, don't worry, I got good use out of the funnel.
Right.
You think I'm gonna go ahead and waste a bunch of wine like that? Because that was not one take. Anywho, the trade deadline looming on March 21st, but the Blackhawks still don't have their general manager. I'd assume, Chris, that would possibly complicate things in terms of what moves might be made. We've been told that Kyle Davidson has full autonomy, but there are reports out there that Brandon Hagel has been somewhat chopped, and even as high as a first-round pick, a prospect, and more in return. And now we're getting word today from the Vegas Golden Knights general manager that he is quickly putting aside the idea that they would get Marc-Andre Fleury
back. They got no money.
That's true. That too.
The Golden Knights have.
Well,
no money.
There's a reason why he was a Blackhawk in the first place this year.
Right. Exactly. The Blackhawks haven't tweeted out any updates. They've been really good about letting us know who they have been interviewing, and there's been five or six that they have revealed so far. And but nothing here over the course of the last few days. I would have to imagine there's going to be more coming down the pipeline. But yeah, some real interesting stuff with some of the price tags, and this gets into, you know, you mentioned the Brandon Hagel rumor out there, and we all love the guy. Mm-hmm. We'd like him to be a long-term piece, but it just gets into how deep down you want to dig if you're going to rebuild this thing. And with the Blackhawks currently without a first-round draft pick this year after the Seth Jones trade this past off season, how deep down they want to dig in terms of rebuild, tearing this down if they want to, building it back up, and there's going to be some hard decisions that are going to have to be made. And if that is indeed a price tag for Brandon Hagel, when you come to think about it, originally a sixth round draft pick from the Buffalo Sabres, and definitely earning his way up the ladder and up the pecking order here with the Blackhawks, a guy you'd love to have around long term, but you know, it all gets into asking prices here, and we're about 5 weeks away from the trade deadline, and there's going to have to be some interesting decisions made no matter who has that responsibility.
It's very intriguing, and I know as of right now it's just a report. Frank Saravelli of his podcast bringing it to light that the Blackhawks have been offered a first round pick for Brandon Hagel. Even if it's just that, it's something to think about. But when it comes down to it, okay, you would be trading away a 23-year-old very solid forward that can play pretty much anywhere, who is signed for the next 3 years, a team-friendly deal. I mean, there's a lot of positives in Brandon Hagel right now, and I think his age is the biggest selling point in terms of where the Hawks are right now. So if you go ahead and make that move, the return has to be someone at least at the level of Brandon Hagel or higher. So are you getting that with a first-round pick? You'd like to think so. But the Blackhawks don't know who their general manager is going to be. I would believe that's going to play into effect of, you know, who's going to actually be drafting that first-round pick if all these things were to align. But it really makes your head scratch because, man, everyone is a big fan of Brandon Hagel these days, myself included. But when you're in the position the Hawks are right now, thinking about a rebuild or at least thinking about a different direction that this organization is going to point to, those types of things are enticing.
Yeah, and whoever takes this thing over, we've mentioned this before on the show, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews have one more year remaining on their contracts. What they want to do with them, if you know, you want to do away completely with the past and all the accomplishments in order to try and dig down deep and build this thing all over again. And there's any number of other guys whose names are out there. Dylan Strome's been playing well. He's obviously, you know, raised his value a little bit with his recent play. But do you want to keep him around? Dominic Kubalik as well, after two really good years. His production has slipped this year. And then any number of other guys. So Marc-Andre Fleury among them too. And that's kind of a sticky situation where you, if he's willing to be moved where he wants to be moved, obviously he'd want to go to a contender if he wants to make that kind of decision. He's not just, you know, going to go someplace where, you know, he's not looking at a Stanley Cup this year, and I know family considerations are really important to him. So as we knock on the door here 5 weeks from now, a lot of interesting decisions that need to be made.
The Marc-Andre Fleury thing is pretty layered, too. I definitely want to get into that next. But we are giving away a Boyke's prize pack, 312-981-7200. Why don't you call in and tell us who is Patrick Kane one assist shy of from tying for second most assist all time in Blackhawks history? Who is Patrick Kane one assist shy of tying for second all time assists in Blackhawks history? We've got more to get to. We're going to have Jason Ross Jr. on the other end of our news break. But for right now, we got to get to a break. Again, 312-981-7200 to win that Boyke's prize pack. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. We've got Jason Ross Jr., who's called play-by-play for the Hawks on TV the past couple of nights after the news. Right now, we're giving away a Boyke's prize pack to the person that can call in and tell us who is Patrick Kane one assist shy of from tying for second all-time for assists in a Blackhawks uniform. Donna from Elgin thinks that they have the right answer. Donna, who do you think it is?
Dennis Savard.
Correct, Donna from Elgin. Yay! Congratulations. You just won a Boyke's prize pack. Our friends over at Boyke's can be found at BOIKEYS.com. It's biltong. It's not beef jerky. It's better than beef jerky and healthier for you, too. Donna, are you a beef jerky fan?
I am, and a Hawks fan.
And a Dennis Savard fan, too. Who isn't a Dennis Savard fan?
Exactly. Well, that's awesome. Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening. We appreciate you calling in, and enjoy that Boyke's biltong.
Thank you so much.
One of these days, we're going to get Savvy on. We've been bugging him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He actually owes us.
Yes, yes. But you know what? He spends a lot of his winter time down in Florida. Good for him.
Exactly.
And out on the links, busting it. So, you know, we'll get Savvy on here before the end
of
the season.
Even more the reason to get him on to ask how his golf game's going.
Exactly.
And tell us all
and
what
it feels like being passed up by Patrick Kane.
That's
He loves 88, though. He's a good guy.
His first head coach in the NHL, too.
Yep. So we got a six-game homestand here?
Yep.
8 out of 9, and it's a huge mountain to climb here. I didn't do nearly as much homework as I should have earlier in the day, but I'm sitting here looking at 12 points behind Anaheim for the second wild card, and if there is any hope at all for making some kind of miraculous run, now is the time here. You got, Columbus on Thursday? The Adam Boquist tribute video will be out, I'm sure, the first intermission. And then Dallas on Friday. These are a bunch of makeup games from what we lost earlier when everyone was coming down at COVID over the holidays. So a six-game homestand. You have a matinee on Sunday against the Florida Panthers, one of the top teams in the league as well. So six in a row at home, eight out of the next nine. And you got to go on a burner here if you have any hope of trying to think of the playoffs. But I think, you know, as we were just discussing in our last segment, I think not so much playoffs now. It's looking towards the future. And, you know, there's not going to be anything where the Blackhawks are pushing all their chips in here at the trade deadline going for this. It's just the reality of the situation. And what was really disappointing in this trip, impressive wins at Edmonton and at Winnipeg. And granted, the Oilers, they got themselves a whole bunch of issues right now and ended up firing Dave Tippett after that loss to the Blackhawks. But what was really disappointing was the kind of start that they had the other night in St. Louis against a division rival, one of those teams you want to try to catch up with in the standings. And just that first period didn't end up costing them from a score standpoint, but it really set a tone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think with a little bit better effort in that game against St. Louis, you might be looking at five out of a possible 6 points at the very least out of this three-game road trip.
Well, not only that, they've played St. Louis well this year. You know, right. The last time they were down there, it was a 1-0 loss, but they didn't give up the only goal until, I think, halfway through the third period. They beat St. Louis at home, and yeah, just a real lackluster effort. Now, once again, we see this team bounce back from that rough outing. So I was talking about it the other day, Derek King holding this team accountable, making sure that they understand what they did wrong the night before. But unfortunately, that's just kind of become the narrative time in and time out. You talk about the schedule favoring the Blackhawks coming up. That's true for a couple of reasons. Obviously, a lot of home games is a perfect opportunity for you to get on a nice little stretch. But this month of February continues where you play a game, you're off a few days, play a game, off a few days, except for this upcoming week, Thursday, Friday, back-to-back home games, which is pretty rare for the Blackhawks in we are still in a COVID world, but a little less COVID world nowadays. Roster move that was made today, Cal Morris getting recalled from Rockford, so Arvid Soderblom goes back down to Rockford. I mean, unless Kevin Lankinen is cleared and returns to the Blackhawks roster, I mean, that's who we would see with one of those games, because Marc-Andre Fleury has been playing, I believe, six straight games, 16 of the last 17. He's going to need a breather on one of those back-to-backs. And not only that, Chris, but they play three games in less than 96 hours because it's Thursday mm-hmm. night, Friday night, Saturday no game, Sunday at 2 o'clock puck drop. There's another 2 o'clock puck drop the following week. But that's a jam-packed schedule. And then once you turn the calendar into the month of March, it's nonstop. I mean, there's hardly 2 days off to clear out the rest of the schedule. That's just how it was kind of set up with having those 3 weeks off of the Olympic break. So it does benefit the Hawks in those ways. I do want to talk about Marc-Andre Fleury a little bit more because, you know, you were talking about all the selling points of him. He probably is the guy that would make the most sense for the Blackhawks to move. Who knows if it'll happen? I mean, who knows if the Blackhawks even want to do that, if that's not what Marc-Andre Fleury wants to do. It took him some convincing to come here to Chicago. He seems to be very happy where he's at. However, I think you could put Marc-Andre Fleury in a kennel and he would still find the positives to pull from it, because that dude is just oozing positivity all the time. Yeah. But he's got the no-trade clause, 10 teams he won't go to. But, you know, they were talking about this on the national program earlier today. He's got three Stanley Cups. He's got 500 wins. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Does he want to get moved again if he's that comfortable here in Chicago right now? I mean, is another Stanley Cup that much worth it? I would think it is, based on his competitive spirit. But it's something to maybe ponder.
It's family considerations are big for him. We've heard the Washington rumor for a couple of weeks mm-hmm. now. I'm not sure if that's died down at all, but I actually have 8 straight and 17 in the last 18 now for Fleury being the starter in the net. So, you know, whether they decide, you know, whether Derek decides Thursday against Columbus, Friday versus Dallas, one of those two in which he gets a breather. But you can also make an argument about some of the other teams in the Central Division. If he wants to keep his family based here in Chicago.
That's a good point.
You could, you know, Minnesota has a couple of young, talented goalies. Well, Cam Talbot's not a young guy, but, you know, their future is with a guy who's the backup there. But, you know, Minnesota's a very talented team. St. Louis has themselves a little bit of situation now with Ville Husso as well as he's playing now. But Jordan Binnington has the long-term contract that they signed him to after the Stanley Cup. So there are some other teams here within the Central Division. If, you know, Marc-Andre doesn't want to stray too far from his family or keep them close, you know, there are a couple scenarios that could play out here. But obviously, the big question for whoever is the general manager about what the return is going to be for the Blackhawks and whether, you know, another divisional foe will want to pay that heavy a price for, whatever it is, a couple-month run here with a three-time Stanley Cup winning goalie.
One place we know he won't be going is back to Vegas. Golden Knights general manager Kelly McCrimmon saying today, shutting down all the rumors of Marc-Andre Fleury returning, quote, "There is absolutely no credence to that rumor at all. I wouldn't normally speak on such things, but there will be so much racket about this." I mean, right? This, I love this quote. It's important to let people know that that's not going to happen. How many times do you ask
that's
a GM?
That's putting the plug in the jug right there for Kelly McCrimmon.
How many times do you ask a GM, like, "Listen, I'm not going to talk about a player that's not on our team right now. Of course, everything's on the table, blah, blah, blah." But he's like, no, this is not happening. But I also think this is relevant because we just talked to Dan Duva last week, and he used the term Vegas fans are PO'd about Marc-Andre Fleury not being on this team anymore. I'm still new to the whole radio thing. I'm too afraid to say it. I don't have enough.
You know, and here's the other consideration, too. You know, he has history in Pittsburgh, and there are some people there with the Penguins who aren't necessarily sold when it comes playoff time about their two goaltenders right there, whether, you know, they can be a backbone for a long playoff run. So that's also something to consider, whether he would be open to something like
that.
Well,
I think for that reason, I also think they are worried that Washington thing would happen.
Right.
And man, could you imagine seeing Marc-Andre Fleury in a Capitals jersey? I can't. Jason Ross Jr. is the first black play-by-play announcer to call a Blackhawks game. He did the last three on the road trip, four total this year. We're going to talk to him after the news. He's 23 years old doing a stand-up job, so we're going to hear a lot from him when we come back. David Jennings is in the news, and you're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN.
Back comes their top line once again. Marchessault, follow-up shot by Whitecloud. Fleury with a beautiful pad save. Another save made by Fleury. Hawks come away unscathed. Jujhar Khaira with Jake McCabe. Khaira scores!
Now, if you were to close your eyes, well, maybe you don't need to close your eyes, it is radio, but if you were to just hear that clip and guess the age of that person, I bet you would not think the early 20s. That is Jason Ross Jr. He's been...
I feel old.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He's been one of the very talented people filling in for Pat Foley. You've probably been able to catch him on the last three games. He got to do the entire road trip and did a fantastic job. He now joins us on Blackhawks Live. Jason Ross Jr., how the heck are you, pal?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Chris. I'm doing well today, and appreciate the kind words. Appreciate the kind words. Love listening to you guys. So it's a pleasure to be on tonight. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we appreciate the kind words as well. And this wasn't your first go-around with the Blackhawks, even, but I did want to ask you because, you know, you made your TV debut a month ago or so in Vegas. What a game, too. That was a phenomenal one. But then you get an entire road trip. You get three straight games. You kind of get to live that life. What was the difference of getting three consecutive games as opposed to one just kind of sprinkled in there last month?
Yeah, it was really awesome. Unforgettable week. I'd say it's probably the most unforgettable week of my life being on the road with the team. And I think the difference there is being immersed in the day-to-day kind of, I guess you could almost call it being, I guess, immersed in the prep on a day-to-day basis and almost being forced to be immersed in your prep because you're there with the team and you're seeing that what's taking place behind the scenes, what's going on when guys are just eating or relaxing and who's talking to who, what's happening in practices. And I loved every element of that. It was really cool. I always dreamed of going on a road trip with the team, and this was one of the more lengthy road trips from a miles standpoint of our season so far, and I think of the entire season going to Edmonton, then St. Louis, then back up to Winnipeg, and then back to Chicago. So it was really fun. Everyone was so welcoming and kind, everyone with the team, on the staff and the players and the coaches, getting to meet people behind the scenes. So it was really neat, a really cool experience, and I enjoyed every minute of it. The preparation was a lot of fun, being on the road and seeing the different arenas. We got to spend a day in St. Louis, which was really neat. And just
a day in St. Louis is not neat. No.
Don't tell Chris Bryant.
Yeah, you're right about that. I didn't say that. But
this late in the night too, they can hear us down there. Right. So hopefully someone's not just flipping through and heard
don't
that.
Don't be wearing jorts. Hey, but hey, I will say this: your win percentage. If we're gonna factor in win percentage in this. You're in a pretty good clip. I joke about that, but tell me a little bit more, since you're twice your age plus almost 13 now. Tell me what your favorite sport is to call, and when you decided this is what you want to do. At what age did you determine that this is what you wanted to do?
I would say when I determined that I wanted to do this, I was probably around the middle school age, so 12, 13, 14. And
I mean, you're 10 years ago.
But I think I always throughout my life, I loved listening to games on the radio, loved watching on TV, loved just consuming announcers. And I think around that middle school age, I would watch highlights of games all the time and started to realize that there was an announcer behind that game, either on TV or on the radio, narrating the story. And I think realizing that was a job that I could do. And so from that point on, I just, whatever book I could find on broadcasting, whatever podcast I could listen to, whatever game I could watch, I was just listening from the perspective of wanting to learn from the play-by-play announcer. And I would just fill up notebooks with little notes I was taking, little nuances I'd pick up on games. And when it comes to a particular sport, I would have to say hockey is my favorite. Just the adrenaline of it, the speed, the physicality, kind of the organized chaos that is hockey is so fun to watch. And just the skill and the talent that's on the ice. I mean, you watch a game that feels like it's moving 100 miles per hour, but then the mind of Patrick Kane to be able to slow it down, and just the creativity that he possesses in his game. And just little things like that, I think, is really incredible for me about the game of hockey and calling it. It's a mental challenge because it does move so fast. But then as a listener, I think maybe especially on radio, you can't talk too fast because then people can't digest the game. So trying to find that balance of delivering a digestible call for the audience and also still describing and bringing the action and bringing the energy is really fun for me. So that's what I love about hockey, and I think that's probably why it's my favorite sport to call.
We're talking to Jason Ross Jr., one of the play-by-play guys that has filled in for Pat Foley on NBC Sports Chicago. You've also heard him here on WGN Radio. He did a game against the Avalanche not too long ago. He's scheduled to fill in for John Weidemann as well. And speaking of John Weidemann, Jason, you constantly call to his praises. I feel like you've followed along with John's career for quite some time. Along with John, who are some of the other guys that have helped you along throughout your career, or who have you idolized throughout your career?
There are so many to think of. I love turning on games and learning from broadcasters. That so many. I'm from Michigan originally, so several broadcasters in that area have helped me out. To kind of maybe think of other play-by-play announcers in particular, I really have always loved watching Mike Tirico on different sports on TV. I think just kind of he really embodies excellent TV broadcasting. Al Michaels, who just called the Super Bowl. By the way, got to watch the Super Bowl with the team in Winnipeg, and that was a fun experience, too, just seeing the guys' reactions to the game.
You don't have to sugarcoat it, though, Jason, because we know you're a Bengals fan.
Yeah, I know. I know you're going to bring it up eventually, so I figured I'd put it out there, and we could dive into that, too. But, it was rough, but being able to watch the team with the game kind of soften and blow a bit there, Joe. I think a lot of different hockey broadcasters around the game. Chris Cuthbert is one I really like to study. Doc Emmerich lives in Michigan. I've had the pleasure of meeting him. Obviously, he's just of legendary status in the game of hockey, and listening to him for so many years was just a blast, and getting to meet him on a few different occasions. He's such a role model for how I think off the air you should, I mean, off the air and on the air, he just conveys kindness, and he's such a genuine individual. And I think guys like him and John Weidemann and Pat Foley and other broadcasters around the NHL, Chris Cuthbert, who I mentioned, as something I tried to always analyze, not only how broadcasters conduct themselves on the air, but off the air. You see broadcasters who are kind to everyone in the building, someone who's working in the elevator, someone who is helping out with the meals, someone who is maybe not working on your broadcast, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't treat them with just the utmost amount of kindness. And I think you watch people who carry themselves like that around the arena, and it truly is a model for how I think we should all conduct ourselves when it comes to being in that space. And it's just something I really admire. And then obviously on the air, just so incredibly talented. When you mentioned Doc Emmerich or Mike Tirico, John Forslund is another one who I love to study. He's doing Seattle now. So many different broadcasters. Trevor Thompson is a reporter in Detroit who actually did play-by-play of the Wings the other night when they played Minnesota, and he really was a good mentor for me and still is a wonderful mentor in my life in broadcasting. A lot of different broadcasters around the NHL I've had the pleasure of meeting have been so kind and willing to help me out and learn, and so that's been a really cool experience throughout my broadcasting career. So, gosh, I could just go on and on for days about the different broadcasters around hockey and the broadcasting world in general that have just been super kind and a role model for how I'd like to help others one day.
Well, that's a spot on approach to take it. Yeah. And it'll do you a world of good here moving forward. So let's see, you're a Detroit native, but you're a Bengals fan. Just the Lions aren't good enough for you, Jason, or
that's a question what? Or a statement.
I think I made this. You have to admit, I made a smart move pretty early on.
That's true. That's true.
And I just happened to stumble upon the Bengals, who, you know, throughout my entire life have disappointed me each and every year, either in the playoffs or not making the playoffs up until this season, this magical run. And yeah, to kind of provide some backstory to that, I think I just fell in love with back in the day, Chad Johnson, Carson Palmer. Made a really nice offense around the 2004-2005 season. So that became my team and just kind of never looked back. I don't know why I stuck with them, but I did up until, you know, all the way to this season. And
Paid off for you.
It paid off. And now it really kind of does feel like a different franchise with Joey Burrow and, you know, Jamar Chase and Higgins, all these good offensive players, and the defense has improved. So really does feel like they have a bright future ahead. But I will say getting to watch the game with the team definitely softened the blow, because just I had smiles the entire road trip last week, and it was disappointing to see the Bengals go down. But luckily, the day after that, we capped it off with a win in Winnipeg, so that made it a lot more of a fun experience after the Bengals lost there.
I guess that's a perfect perspective to have. If your team is going to lose in the Super Bowl, at least let me watch it with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yes.
Well, Jace.
Well, yeah, unforgettable.
Well, Jason, we really appreciate you taking the time for us. Fantastic job, but I know you're slated to do a few more. I know we're, well, at least that's what we could possibly expect. I do know that we'll be working with you down the road on WGN Radio again, too. Do you happen to know what game that is?
Yep, so we'll be working together next Friday. New Jersey.
Okay.
Is in town.
So, yep. Coming right up. Well, no, it's Jason, it's really cool to see what you're doing and how you're doing it at this young age, but you just ooze professionalism. Clearly, there's a reason you're in the position that you are right now. So just congratulations on getting this far this quickly. Keep up the great work. And yeah, we'll talk to you later on next week, too.
Awesome. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you having me on. And I'd really enjoy listening to you guys. Thank you, Joe and Chris, just so much for having me on. I really appreciate it and looking forward to working together down the road.
Our pleasure, Jason.
All right, that's Jason Ross Jr. He's been one of the fill-in play-by-play guys for Pat Foley and for John Weidemann, and he's expected to fill in on the radio next week against the New Jersey Devils. We've still got more to get to. We're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live. Still want to talk a little bit about the trade deadline that is looming, and a few things about Patrick Kane and Dylan Strome as we'll quickly wrap up Blackhawks Live next. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. After a 2-1 road trip, the Blackhawks return home for a long slate of games at the United Center. Blackhawks.com/tickets to see when you can come on down to the west side of the Windy City and catch some games. There's plenty of opportunities. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. Big thanks to Jason Ross Jr. for taking time out of his Tuesday night and one of his first nights off after the long road trip to join us here on the show. Does a great job on both TV and radio. Again, we'll be hearing him later on next week. We've been talking about the trade deadline looming. and some of the pieces that the Blackhawks have. Dylan Strome clearly is on the up over the past month or so. He's had an up and down year, but man, is he starting to shine right now. And you definitely have to credit Derek King finally putting him in this position to, you know, have some more opportunities to be a little bit more of a significant player. But Patrick Kane got pretty vocal about it and said that I think Dylan Strome is now proving that he's a guy that deserves to play in a significant role, and even went far enough to say basically, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but the Blackhawks are better off with Dylan Strome than trying to move him for a trade right now. That's Patrick Kane's opinion.
Yeah, well, Patrick obviously likes to be put in the best position possible for him to be.
That's true.
To be
That's
productive
true.
As well.
That's a fair point.
And you know, when they have worked together, it's all about putting Dylan Strome in those positive positions. He's not a fourth line guy. He's not a third line guy. And you know, you try to fit that square peg into a round hole, that's not who he is. So in order to get the most out of Dylan Strome, he's going to have to be up there in the top six. And if given the opportunity, he's shown what he can do so far. Now the question becomes whether you use that as a chip for the future or you consider him a part of your future here moving forward, because what is Dylan now? Probably about 25, 26 years old or so. So, you know, that's something you have to consider moving forward here. But yeah, first and foremost, I know going into last night, what he had 11 points in his last 9 games heading into last night's contest. So, yeah, if you're going to put Dylan Strome in the best position possible, whether it's for your team or if you're going to use him as a chip moving forward in order to make him more attractive come March 21st, you have to put them in those positions. And I think Derek was kind of, I won't call it making the mistake, but you know, when he first took over, trying to get him into the lineup somehow, some way. But third and fourth line isn't going to work for Dylan Strome. You have to have him up there with other productive players, offensive-minded players, and that's how you're going to get the most out of number 17.
He's really done a very nice job improving his face-offs.
Yeah.
That actually was one of the things that didn't happen in the Winnipeg game last night, but still, for the most part, Dylan Strome has put a lot of effort and put a lot of hard work into that, and a big reason why he's succeeded, and it's been more prevalent, too.
Juggling, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's true. That helped him a little bit. But, you know, with Jonathan Toews down, there's been a lot more emphasis on Dylan Strome picking up some of that heavy load. But I just still think there's something to be said about his mental take on this, going through being a healthy scratch, going through being on the fourth line. And whether or not he's walking into the locker room with a big smile on his face and nothing's wrong, anything that either the coaches or the players have said was that he has approached this whole situation the correct way. And it's good to see that getting paid off for now. But the thing about Dylan Strome, since he's come here to Chicago, it's been up and down. It was really good when he first came in. Once he hit his lull, it was tough to see him come out of it. And now that's the question. It's almost like you know what you have from Dylan Strome because you don't know what you have from Dylan Strome. He's a streaky player. He can be up and down. When he's on, he's on. And he's one of the most valuable guys on the team. But if it's not consistent, that's where things just get a little bit more confusing. Somebody else that is facing a lot of adversity right now, a lot of criticism, so much that it's even caused him to delete Instagram and Twitter, is Kirby Dach. He's looked pretty strong out of the All-Star break. Who knows, maybe this is a great little reset for Kirby Dach. But some of the things we saw from him yesterday, yes, 2 assists. It's great to see 2 points on the board. But the fact of what he did, you know, moving towards the net, kind of creating a screen, he's still in that pass-first mode, but if it comes with a goal, okay, so be it. But I think if he starts to utilize his size, utilize his skill set in terms of skating and his positioning, that's what you want to see more of out of Kirby Dach. And if he does more of that, there's going to be a lot less criticism about him.
Well, when we talked to Nikki a couple weeks ago, I asked him about Kirby Dach. I heard Eddie say the same thing last night with Jason before the broadcast. I don't know if it was in the pregame or during the course of the game. North, South, Kirby Doc. That's that's what you're going to need from him. And he's only 21 years old. And, yeah, we all get greedy seeing what some of the other players in this league are doing at 18 and 19 and 20, putting up numbers that Kirby still hasn't, you know, scratched the surface on. So in looking forward here, he's going to have to realize, you know, he's not – the Patrick Kane type where he's moving side to side. He's just going to have to go north, south, and figure out that that's his game. And once he glues himself to that particular mindset, he's going to be a better player for it. Now, you know, what his ceiling is, I don't know. I still think it's pretty high, but, you know, still at just 21 years of age and, you know, he was thrown in the fire pretty quickly here as a teenager and getting a taste of it. And we also saw what, you know, his potential was just in his second year before suffering that wrist injury. I think that's had a profound effect on him in trying to recover and trying to, you know, get back to the pace and the level of play that he was before that wrist injury at World Juniors a little bit more than a year ago. That's been a crucial setback for Kirby. So hopefully he can get back to his game and start, you know, learning what his potential is and start to achieve that too.
There was some talk about him possibly going on the wing. Derek King just said, well, the Blackhawks have thought about it and maybe we'll see it. Maybe we won't. That would be interesting as well. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. We will talk to you next week on Monday night, the 21st at 7 o'clock after the Florida game. Our next broadcast, though, Hawks broadcast, will be Thursday night as the Hawks host the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. Thanks for listening. 720 WGN.